Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 3, verses 13 to 17. In his message titled, Never Enough Time, Reverend David Williams tells us that we have a tendency to ask ourselves, are we doing the right things at the right moment? Instead of questioning ourselves, we need to keep trying to do the right thing while remembering that God loves and blesses us. We need to trust in God's mercy and grace. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's Word.
Please be seated. We have trouble trusting that we're doing the right thing in the right moment. It's so easy to second guess ourselves. It's so easy to look at an action we've taken and to say, you know, I could have done that right in 27 different better ways. And then to spend the next week and a half to 2 weeks thinking about that one action we did just a little bit wrong. It's so easy to live in fear that we are not using our lives well. Even though here in this place we gather and we hear that God is grace and God is love and God forgives us because we mess up, we still feel that anxiety that we did it just a little wrong. So right now, let's admit that we struggle with that. Let's confess our fear and our anxiety to the God who loves and forgives us. Let's do so with the prayer of confession that's in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious God, we like nothing more than to feel we have all we need. We want to live without fear, to live without anxiety. And in answer to your creatures, from your creation flows a multitude of blessings, enough for all. Yet our world is still filled with our want, still filled with our fear that we will not have enough. We struggle and strive, and it never feels like we're keeping up. Lord, for all the ways we've lost sight of what we should be, forgive us. In Christ's name, forgive us. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let's now open our hearts and minds a third time to God's word as we listen for it in Scripture. Today's third reading is drawn from the Gospel of John. I'll be reading from John chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. You can follow along on page 94 of your Pew New Testament. Let's listen again for the word of God. No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son in the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here. Grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It seems like there's never enough time. I get reminded of that all the time. People are always recommending to me books to read. Hey, this one's awesome, they'll say. Oh, you need to read this. This is the best. And I will make mental note of yet another book that I'm not going to find the time to get to. Because I've got this literary holding pattern that starts looking more and more like the Library of Congress as the years go by. There just isn't enough time. I feel that. I used to be really into film. I would go and I would see movies, and now it seems like, you know, all the folks I know are geeking out about some new superhero movie that's about to come out, and that's like, what, 17 times a year that happens now, and I'm like 12 back, and I don't even know anybody's backstory anymore, and I feel overwhelmed. I can't keep up with that. There's not enough time. I'm reminded of that whenever someone recommends that I binge watch some new show that's supposed to be the most amazing thing ever, and they're like, oh, this is a new show, and they're like, yeah, it came out in like 2005, and I'd be like, what? How did I miss that? It's not enough time. I'm reminded of that whenever I look at my hutch full of book bunnies. Anyone know what a book bunny is? A book bunny is an idea you have for something you want to write. It's like this little, oh, it's a little book bunny. Oh, there it is. Oh, so cute. And, you know, you're supposed to write those down whenever they occur. And so my book bunny hutch now has 9 nonfiction book bunnies, 12 novel-length book bunnies, and a dozen short-story book bunnies just waiting for me to sit down and get them done. They reproduce like bunnies, you know? It's like, it's crazy. It's gotten to the point where when my muse whispers another story idea into my head as I'm out for a walk, I'm like, oh, you be quiet. Write that yourself, you know? It's like, there's not enough time. There's not enough time, you know, I'm reminded of how recently it seems that I was young, how quickly gray slipped into my beard, how just a blink of an eye ago, 2 little boys would curl up on the sofa with my wife and me for story time at night, and was that enough time for that? It seems sometimes like it wasn't. Wouldn't it be great if it was, you know, if just life just went on and on and on and on. Forever and ever and ever, and you could do everything. Everything. If only there was enough time. And today, in the strikingly familiar passage we get from John's Gospel, Jesus talks about life and time eternal. We get that twice in this short, familiar passage. What is the goal and hope of Jesus? Why did God send Jesus? Eternal life. Or in the Greek that John's Gospel was written, Zoen aeonion, Zoe meaning life. If you ever had a friend named Zoe, they'll always tell you that. My name means life. It's like, thanks. And aeonion, from the same Greek word that gives us eon, age. Here, Jesus talking. Here is the life of all of the ages. That is what I am offering you. And we hear that in our busyness, in our franticness, in our anxiety, and we think, oh, that'd be awesome. That would be so great, eternal life. I could get things done. I mean, the house would finally get painted if I had 10 to the 500th power years to actually do it. It would happen. And there the grasping part of my soul tends to welcome the idea of the life eternal as this thing that would add to my productivity, as an endless quantity of time. a layering of year upon year upon year until they stack all the way to infinity out of view. But then I reflect on that, and I don't know that that's necessary. I don't know if that wouldn't be kind of horrible, because I know how much I misuse time as it is. How I take the moments that have been given to me and I pour them into really dumb things. I don't know that it is that we don't have enough life, that the quantity of time given to us is inadequate. It's that we take so much of what we've been given and we make it nothing. And I mean, it's easy. There's an obvious culprit for this. I mean, when I opened up my laptop to read the sermon, Facebook was on there. Like, oh. There is this tendency now in the endless cavalcade of distractions that the net era serves up to say, well, how would you spend eternity if given it? Given if you had 10,000 years bright, shining as the sun, how much of that would you spend watching music fail videos on Facebook? I posted a great one this morning. You should check it out. It's great. Or Battlefield, just playing endless rounds. Just one more level. It's not like there's any hurry. We've got all eternity. How much of that time would we spend Snapchatting out conversations that are consigned to instant oblivion? Surely we modern humans have become so easily diverted from anything of meaning and weight that we would squander infinity if it were given to us. And I was thinking about this when I actually ran into something on Facebook this week. Providential. For some reason, you know, the algorithms that there's an article and underneath it, here are three more things that you should really waste time on. Look, a kitten video. Ooh, another kitten video, another one. And the next thing you know, it's 3 weeks later and you're like, what happened? One of those algorithms that tried to hook me into something pitched up a link about Seneca. Not the creek, not the road, not the watershed that makes up much of this county. There was a little booth about Seneca watershed. Anyone pass that one on the Bullsville Dice? Very important, good stuff. That's not what this link was about, nor was it about the Native American people who were mostly in upstate New York. They weren't the Seneca anyway, we just called them that. They were the Onondaga, and their main town was the Osininka, which we decided was like, you know, that sounds like Seneca. We can't really pronounce that. Seneca. You're the Seneca. Aren't you glad to know we've given you your own name? This was an essay pitched to me by Seneca the Younger, a Roman Stoic philosopher. You get Facebook things like that all the time, right? It's like, this is someone who taught and wrote in Rome at the time of Jesus. And Seneca was known as one of the wisest men of his era. I've read his books before. He's a compelling rhetorician and a Stoic philosopher. He mingled his insights from philosophy with his skills as a writer and as a public thinker. And he led an extraordinary life and really only in life made one significant mistake, and that was, well, he was so successful that he was roped into being the teacher and tutor for a new young emperor. This was the new boy god king, Nero, who had been born into power. And Nero was kind of hard to teach. He was this strangely charismatic young man. He was wildly popular with the masses for his antics, more an entertainer and a showman than anything else, and an embarrassment to the elites in power in Rome. Nothing like anyone we encounter today at all. Nero was utterly charming and just as equally unreliable. And so Seneca was brought in to tame him. And for a while, he did. Seneca was Nero's favorite teacher. He doled all kinds of honors on him until Nero somehow became convinced that Seneca had been part of a conspiracy against him. And then Nero, like all powerful people of appetite and impulsiveness, well, let's just say he wasn't the safest person to be around. Things didn't end well for Seneca. And so Seneca wrote an essay. It was entitled On the Shortness of Life, which is something you probably think about a great deal when you're in close proximity to a man who can have you killed anytime he wants. The heart of that essay was simple. Human beings are almost always given enough time to live well. We have the opportunity in every moment to find our purpose. We have the opportunity to do what it is we are made to do. There is time enough, because every moment is time enough. And he's making this argument. Remember, he's making this argument at the time of Jesus. So here's a culture where the average human lifespan is 35. And that might seem a lot when you're 16 and it's the 60s and you can't trust anybody over 30, but you blink an eye and you're there. Feels like nothing, like no time. But Seneca suggests that it is time enough. And the reason we feel so lost is not that we don't have enough time, it's that all of it is wasted. Because we worry about things. We chase after unattainable wealth and prestige. We run ourselves ragged in circles. We chew over the past. We allow ourselves to be battered by the whims and desires of others. We get caught in this cycle of anxious expectation that consumes us. And as he puts it, and again, we're talking 2,000 years ago, the part of life we actually live is very small. All the rest of our existence is not life, but merely time. We're not alive in those moments. And in that bit of ancient insight from a teacher, actually the early Christian church appreciated. There was a rumor, Seneca, you know, whenever there was a really great ancient pagan, the early Christian church was like, you know, he was secretly Christian. They would always say that. So there are ancient traditions that say Seneca became Christian at the end of his life, and who's to say? But in that insight, there's a key, I think, to the life that Jesus is promising. How much can one do with a life? I mean, we look to Jesus himself. I mean, the average lifespan was 35 in the ancient world. Did Jesus make it to that? No, he didn't. There's something of an answer in that. Eternal life is life lived to God's purpose. A life where attention is given to the places where God has given us gracious gifts of the Spirit, to places where compassion and encouragement are allowed to be things that aren't just something we're going to get around to, but something that's an integral part of our right now. The zoen eternum, the eternal life, it's not a question of quantity. I think we want everything to be about more and more and easy metrics. No, this is, eternal life is a question of quality, a quality moment, a quality of life that encompasses not just an endless stretch of time that will happen at some point in the future, but a life that is actually eternal, meaning it stretches into this time, this now as well. And as much as we fret, and as much as I worry, am I using this right? Did I do this right? Did I say this right? We're asked not to anguish over that, to trust in a God who is gracious, and to trust that if we use time wisely, if we use it compassionately, if we use it well, there will always have been time enough. May that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us. And we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Eternal life is right now. It is. And I can say that. It's all carpe diem and like, yeah, it's carpe diem. I sort of know what that is. It's Latin, right? We get this seize the day thing, and then we think to ourselves, okay, great. How? That's just sort of a baseline, right? How do I do that? How are we supposed to do this thing? And the answer is really painfully simple. It's do what Jesus says to do. Do that thing Jesus says to do. And you're like, well, how do I know what that is? Like, if you are unsure, John is great, a little floaty. Go to Matthew 5 through 7. Go to that teaching about what that life looks like in the day-to-day of your existence. What are your relationships going to look like? How are you dealing with your enemies? What are you supposed to do? Jesus tells us, do this. Do this thing. Don't worry about whether you're doing it wrong. He says, don't be anxious. Do it. You say, but I am anxious. So what? Do it anyway. Do that thing that Jesus asks. And trust that the God of love that Jesus proclaims doesn't matter that sometimes you don't do it exactly right or sometimes you forget to do it, so long as you remember to take that moment and say, this is part of the eternal life that God has promised us. Don't tell us exactly what part, but he says it matters. So don't fret. Don't be anxious. Do that life that you have been blessed with, because it is, if you live it that way, it is and will be life enough. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, may they be with us and abide with us this day and our whole lives long. Amen.